Belinda and I are really, really excited to be back with you. The Discovery Classes is always a highlight for us. We get to do this every couple of years and sometimes in between. And we really, really look forward to that. We're going to be studying through the attributes of God. It's going to be a fantastic study. I'm going to introduce that study next week, and we're going to go through it. We have a 13-week quarter this quarter, and today I have the privilege actually to introduce somebody to you that I want you to get to know, and I know you'll be glad you did. And that's Jim Alexander and his wife Pam. They're sitting right here. They're going to come up in just a second and share with you. But Jim came on staff about 5 months ago in October. Am I correct?
Good. 4 months.
All right. Around in October. Okay. Yep. So they've been with us a while, and Jim and Pam come from Ohio originally. They are Buckeye fans, so that's one thing Auburn and Alabama fans can all come together on. We're so excited they're here with us. Jim will tell a little more about his family and tell more about himself, but he did work in business, I think, 20 or so years. He'll tell you more details about that. Ended up in Colorado Springs. Ended up, God called him into ministry. He'll tell you more about that as well. I'm leading up to whatever you're going to say.
Keep going. It sounds good.
Am I doing what you told me? Yeah. But he became a senior pastor there at Cheyenne Mountain PCA Church in Colorado Springs. The Lord called him here to serve with us with all our board-directed ministries as our pastor of board-directed ministries here. And the reason I want to introduce him today is John and I have been talking about this. There is a kind of a church, the pastors, different pastors serve in different communities. And Jim's actually going to be the community pastor in this community with you. And so he and Pam will be in here. It's probably more as you would see it, there won't be any changes. But on the other hand, there will be, because Jim is going to be praying for you. He's going to be available to you. He's going to be here to encourage you and to help in any pastoral needs or anything else. He's going to be behind the Towns and Donaldsons, encouraging them as well as a community pastor. And that's what we have in every community. And I've served in that way for the last almost 12 years, along with being your shepherding pastor as well. I'm not going to let go of you guys. Y'all are too great. So I'm going to be your shepherding pastor. I'm going to stay here to encourage and pray for and be around as well. But I've also been the community pastor in a second class called the Sojourner class. So I haven't been around as much as I would love to be. And so this gives me the opportunity to be around about the same amount, but for y'all to have Jim and Pam in here with you to be available a whole lot more and to pray for you and live life with you. And they're really going to be blessed. I've told him that about 10 times. I was like, this is a great community. You're going to love them. And so don't let me down. It's going to be a great fit. You're going to love getting to know them. They're going to be, I have enjoyed it, not got to know them quite as much as I really want to. I mean, they're fantastic. You're going to love it, and they're going to love you as well. So I believe that's really all I had to say here. But as Jim and Pam, they're going to come up and share just a little bit and share their story and get a little time with you this morning so you can get to know them more personally. And so let's welcome up Jim, and if he wants Pam to come, then that's good. So, all right.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here with y'all. Coming from Colorado Springs, we used to live in the southeast, so we're getting used to saying that again, but it's great to be here. Benny, I think, told me, what time does this get finished, the class?
10:30.
Okay. So in 25 minutes, he said, be transparent, be vulnerable, be honest, be open, and get known. something like that. Yeah, so at any rate, we're going to share a little bit. Pam's going to tell you a little bit about our family and our background, and then I'll share some more details, and hopefully we even have time at the end for a question or two if you'd like.
We kind of divided it up, like the beginning, where we were raised. And he's going to do the middle and the end. I'm usually the quiet person behind the scenes. You won't see me often behind a podium. We both grew up in Ohio, and in very small towns. I grew up on an island in Lake Erie called Catawba Island, and it now has a bridge and a causeway, so you can get to it. And did not grow up in a Christian home, but I had parents that thought it was very important. So at about the age of 10, my brother and I, my parents sat down and said, "We think you need a religious education, so we would like for you to go to church." And we found a church you can walk to, because they didn't want to be put out, but they did want us to have the education. So we walked to this little church that was about two blocks from our house, through a little field, down a little plow path, and at the age of 10, I got saved. It was a little Baptist church. So I stayed in the church, my brother and I did, till about junior high or high school, and then the pull of our school was greater than the church, and the church was so small it didn't have anything. So I sort of drifted away. Now, and then Jim was also brought up in Ohio. He was brought up in a small town 20 minutes from where I lived. We did not know each other. Our schools didn't play each other. We never had any interaction. He was just the opposite. He was brought up in a Christian home. But I'll do like Pastor Reeder does, and there's more to that story that you're going to hear. But so anyway, he's brought up in a Christian home, and we go all the way up to a summer job when we're in college, and that's how we meet. So we live in an area that is full of tourism, and we have a place called Cedar Point. It's kind of like Six Flags Over Georgia. Sort of, and so there's tons of tourists that flood there. So often you would come back from college and work for the summer. So we worked a summer job, and we met that way. Now, I do get to share that we have two daughters, and they are 35. Nicole is married to a PCA pastor in Pennsylvania, and they have two children, two little boys that are almost 4 and almost 6. They're absolutely adorable and a lot of work. And then our youngest daughter is 27, and she just moved to Atlanta, where her husband is in a teaching hospital continuing his nursing career. And they have a little boy that's 5 months old, and that was a surprise. We did not know they were moving to Atlanta, so it was a great blessing.
Yes.
So I'm going to let you finish up.
All right. That's great. Thank you, Betty. So just to fill in a few of the backstory leaves in that booklet, we were in South Carolina at that time. That's where both of our girls were born and grew up until we jerked one out at the end of sixth grade, moved her all the way to Colorado Springs and told her 1 week prior that we were moving. I don't recommend that. A little couch time. No, she did great with it, but it wasn't the wisest thing for us. But in South Carolina, I was involved in business. I'd been a teacher, but a change of careers took place there. I was in business management, as Benny said, for almost 20 years. Back in 92, we also, while I was in business, was helping different churches as worship pastor, worship leader. And in 92, the church that we were helping was obviously going to be facing some struggle, and we decided, finally, we get a chance, we're going to visit every church in Columbia, South Carolina, before we decide where God wants us. But we'd met this, what we called the hippie pastor. He was a PCA pastor with long hair, and his family were always around town. We'd met quite a few families from that church, and with that church, we started to realize there was something unique going on there. I met men who loved the Lord and weren't ashamed of it. I met men who were really desiring to serve the Lord and not ashamed of that. So we decided, okay, first Sunday, let's go check out this Presbyterian church. Remember, we grew up Baptist. So you know, my mother was terrified, but that's okay. It's a whole other story. She was white. I mean, it was. But we went, and by God's grace, it was a wonderful Sunday. Joe Novenson was the pastor, and the next Sunday we got up. Where do you want to go this week? And the car just kind of made its way right back to that little PCA church. And as God would have it, we stayed there. We were there from 92 until we moved to Colorado. Ended up being a worship pastor there with Joe. Mark Long, who is over on staff at Oak Mountain, was also there with us. Larry and Linda Lamb, who are here at the church, they were also there with us. So it was just a God reordering thing. But I wanted to just share, it was a good reordering for us in challenging everything we grew up believing. Because they had this inquirers class, you know how pastor does his. Theirs was 13 weeks long. So we went through it and we loved it so much that we went through it again. And we loved it that time, so we went through a third time. I'm a little slow on the uptake. But actually, it was just so refreshing. We kept hearing this overarching one story. And it made sense. We heard church history connect the dots. And I'd never heard that in my life. But overall, we had heard a system that made sense for much of what we already believed, and that was called Reformed thinking. And God drew us into that church, grew us in that church, and started developing us in that church. I was a deacon in the church, so I have a heart for all the mercy ministries and still do. We stayed in that church until we moved to Colorado in 2001. The business I was with, it was a family-run business. They were going through some transitions of their own. The handwriting on the wall didn't look real favorable at the moment. And a company was recruiting us out of Denver, so we moved to Colorado Springs. We'd heard of this church called Village 7, and Joseph Wheat was there, and we started attending it the very first Sunday we arrived. So, shortening our long story just a little bit, we were there. We were with the company that was in Denver for just a year. God transitioned us once again. The career change became a career shift. There was a ministry there in the Colorado Springs area, Larkspur. There was a crisis marriage counseling ministry, and we went to work with them. I was their director of development and director of operations for 4 years. Pam worked all the time whenever they had clients, home-cooked meals, linens, everything that needed to be done. If you ever think of owning a bed and breakfast, can I encourage you, it ain't worth it. It is a ton of work. Because that's kind of how the marriage counseling clinic worked. We took 5 couples for 10 days at a time. So for 10 days, you had 10 people and you took care of every need, including hiking. I went hiking with the guys. I had a big advantage, though. See, when you come from sea level and you go to 7,500 feet altitude, you can go on a hike and they're winded in 5 minutes flat. Yeah. And now we can sit down and we can talk and we can start exploring what's going on in their heart. What's God really doing? But we were with that ministry for 4 years until it also took a turn. They needed a slightly different direction as far as the personnel there. And we had kept meeting people from a seminary in Colorado Springs that I was very impressed with. One was Del Tackett. Del became one of my professors and good friends. But as we kept meeting these people, God was just kind of nudging us. Isn't there something else, something more that I'm really going to ask of you? By the way, guys, if you're not real sure how God nudges you, listen to your spouse. Because sometimes that's how it works. You know, Pam would just say, but what about? And I would start to think it through. Again, shortening the story for time's sake, ended up going to seminary at age 50. At age 50, you get a lot of respect when you walk in the classroom until you sit down with the students and they realize you ain't the professor, you know. But that's okay. That's how it worked. And in God's grace, I was able to work full-time for the seminary, go to seminary full-time, and start helping a church whose pastor stepped down for medical crises, and we graduated in 3.5 years. I was tired. Pam was more tired. And Pam, why don't you come up and share a little bit on that?
So this was an incredibly difficult time. So we had put our house up for sale. Our daughter's in a Christian school in Colorado Springs. So we're driving 50 miles to take her to school and back. Okay, every day. So he's going through a transition. So for the first time ever, Jim is unemployed. He's real high energy, okay? He was unemployed, and it was just a shock. We couldn't believe it. So we put our house up for sale, and we thought, we will sell this so quick. We were out on 5 acres in the country, and it was really a nice home. So it didn't sell. So we had already bought another house. So now we had 2 houses,
We don't recommend that either.
We don't. And we will not help you sell your house or buy a house. We're not good at it. So anyway, so we have two houses. And we have our youngest in a Christian school, a private Christian school. And our oldest is at Covenant. And I'm not making a statement here for anybody, but we didn't allow our children to take out school loans. So we had this big school bill, and we own two houses, and Jim is unemployed. And I had not worked in 20-some years. So I told him one day, I said, I will do whatever the family needs. So he said, well, we need health insurance. So I went back to the school system, and I taught in the public school, which I had never done. And I was working with special needs students, and I got burnout. And then I started teaching reading to struggling students. I became a strategic interventionist, and I did that for about 7 years. Then I retired, and then this is where Jim went into ministry. But there's one thing I have to share that I wouldn't recommend you do, but I was so frustrated, and I felt like my security was gone. So I said, okay, I'm going to open the Bible and point. Okay. So the people laughing have maybe done that. Okay. But I did that. I thought, gosh, God, you just have to speak to me somehow. So I open the Bible, and I point, and I have before me two blank pages. I thought, oh, no. I have 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It was just kind of funny that God would do that. But he did show me that my security was in him. And yeah. He completely made everything work. And we would love to share all those details in a small group.
Yeah.
They're kind of intimate. But we'll share.
It was a time of struggling. It was at that time, I remember, with two house payments, no job. Had a next-door neighbor that took me under his wing. We got some odd jobs along the way. God met every bill right on time, even though I was technically unemployed. But I remember on the 5 acres, I was out on the riding mower mowing, screaming at God. I know you've never gotten there. You may have. And he's big enough to take it. Go ahead. Take everything if you want. And by that evening, it was, God, go ahead. Take everything if you want. Because I'd come to grips with the reality. I wanted God more than I wanted the stuff. And I needed to get to a place where I was trusting him in a far deeper way than I had up until that moment. And he did provide. He took care of all the little details. And the kids got out of college without debt. And he was so, so good. How do we get to Cheyenne Mountain? As I started seminary, I, to this day, I don't remember who gave me a copy of this book. The author is kind of obscure. You may not have heard of him, but it was a book called Embers to a Flame by Dr. Harry Reeder, now Pastor Harry Reeder. And I read the book, and I thought, wow, this just makes sense. It was biblical principles. And it just made sense. And as God opened a door for us to start helping this little church of 28 people, I realized that God had put this book in my hand on purpose. Because we were about to enter into a work that was called revitalization. Long story shortened, in a year we realized the church, rather than believing God was finished with them, was starting to believe he was just getting started. In another year, we were starting to grow. In another year, we were actually embarking on a capital campaign, trusting God to help us build. We had looked, we were one of four congregations. We had grown to become the largest church, one of four congregations meeting in a Nazarene church building every Sunday. And we were the only Presbyterians, so we were the black sheep. They were all other Nazarene churches, but God grew the church in really adverse circumstances, and we had looked for a place to renovate. God, surely that's what you want us to do, the strip malls around. But in Southwest Colorado Springs, if you've ever heard of the Broadmoor, it's really high rent. And we understood that that was not good stewardship. And I asked the elders, I said, brothers, I think we should pray. Is it time to build? because the church had already bought land they were still paying on. Long story again. Here's the bullets. We prayed. We followed God. We listened. 34 giving units pledged and gave 125% of what they pledged over 3 years, which was incredible. We had over $500,000, plus we paid off $200,000+ on the land, and we were able to build. And God established a church that went from being ingrown to outgrown, from inward focus to we're part of our own community. We're here to make a difference. And by God's grace, how did God lead us here? Well, when we left Cheyenne Mountain, the church is healthy, is still making a huge impact in the community. It went from 28 to over 250. And exciting to see God's timing even in how he directed us here. We had a summer intern that I knew and really hit it off with. He was going to Covenant. By the time that I was understanding that, you know, we needed something in our church more permanent, we needed an assistant, he said, my roommate would be a perfect fit. So God orchestrated it. We were looking, and in May, we called a young Covenant grad to come on as an assistant with us. Well, in August, Pam and I do a road trip. And in August, we'd heard about Briarwood Presbyterian, of course, forever, because this is where it all started. But we had also heard in a few months prior to this about some staff transitions and some needs here at the church. While we're traveling in August, we get a phone call from a guy named Bruce Stallings. And he wanted us to come down and interview. He said, I'm praying about talking to you about a couple of positions, openings that we have. We came down, we listened, we prayed, we talked, we thought things through, we had several interviews. And as we looked, you know, there's an old saying, Soren Kierkegaard, you live life forward, but you understand it looking backwards. When Pastor Stallings shared the director, board director ministries opportunity, I looked at 8 different incredible board-directed ministries and those that were leading it. And I realized in my professional career, I had direct one-on-one experience in 5 out of the 8. No, I've never worn a tutu. I knew nothing about ballet. Sorry. But the other 5 I knew. And I also knew I had a heart for men, and a heart for women, and a heart for leaders, and shepherding them, and coming alongside them. And as God kept the interview process going, he took the beginnings of a possible call, and he refined it, and he furthered it, and he deepened it until we knew it was reality. The transition coming here was incredible. Y'all have been so gracious as a church, so friendly and welcoming family. It's a big church, and we came from a little church, but we felt right at home. So we're very grateful. But I also want to just share that while we're grateful for this smooth, easy transition, when Christmas came, we started getting cards, Christmas cards, and photos, handmade gifts, homemade goodies that were the pastor's favorites from folks back in Colorado. Things grew kind of quiet. Our kids came and they went. We're bumping around in our house. And we're realizing it's a whole new ballgame. Pam's a writer. She writes things much more clearly than I can even think. And she wrote this, we know God never wastes quiet faithfulness. And I looked at that and I thought, and God won't waste the faithfulness in the quiet. And that's where y'all get to come in. You see, we went through the transition very well, but now we're looking forward to starting new relationships and deepening relationships and being transparent and vulnerable. And really getting to know what's going on in your worlds. And welcoming you into the mess that we sometimes walk through. And we look forward to that. We look forward to God using this class and this church and every board directed ministry that we help and every other missionary and ministry that this church is sending to keep making kingdom-sized impact around the whole world. So I think I've talked plenty long. I'm going to let you all ask questions if you'd like, and we actually have 4 minutes. Yes.
So what do you think about the ballet?
Plié jump. So, no, the ballet. Hey, I'm going to answer this question. Pam and I, when we saw the ballet this Christmas, felt like we'd seen ballet for the very first time, as it was supposed to be. So it was very Christ-honoring, very gospel-centered. It used every media art in such a phenomenal way that I'm proud to be part of the ballet.
Yeah.
Yes, over here. I've really not met a homemade goodie I didn't like. Any kind of a pie. But in particular, the one that came in the mail was a coconut cream pie. It actually shipped okay. Yes?
I just want to make sure, given my job, that it was Covenant College students that were having a great impact. Wherever you're getting it, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Covenant College, not the seminary. Yes, yes, yes. Little dog in that hunt there. Huh? Anything else? We look forward to understanding what's going on for you. Please understand that I just heard Kevin Rockman speak at the YBL banquet, and I loved his philosophy even as a business leader. He said, you take a flow chart, which starts with one and goes down, and he says, basically, you turn it upside down. He said, now you know everybody you get to serve. And that's how I hope we can come alongside you as a community pastor. We look forward to getting to know you, having you in our home, getting to be in your homes, and getting to serve you and with you.
All right. Let me keep you up here. Pam, why don't you come up here, and I'm just going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for Jim as he figures out the structure level in this class.
I hear it's very complex.
Complex. I share it with you. It's so complex. But we are so appreciative of y'all being here. Look forward to it. And look forward to thank you for being as open as you were. And look forward to getting to know you. So let me pray for Alexander. Father, we do just thank you. It's just a blessing and an encouragement to hear the story and realize that looking backwards, it doesn't surprise us looking backwards at your faithfulness. It just scares us going forward so often. But thank you for the way you brought Jim and Pam to Christ, to each other, or to your service in business and in education and now in the church, and to us. Thank you so much for that, Lord. Again, this class, I've been on the receiving end of so much fellowship and love and service. Pray they would experience that and find opportunities to serve as well. I know they will. And we just pray for encouragement for them and their kids, grandkids, and for guidance and for ways to sense the meaningfulness of their service. And just thank you that you are enough for us. You bring us together to share that. We just pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.